is like you, maker of heaven, Lord of the land, and Lord of the sea, holy and true, faithful and able, Lord of all time and eternity.
Ferdinand, and I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, and praying the blessing of God on you, your family, your work, your ministry, and all that concerns you, in Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, the people that do know their God, they will be strong, they will do exploits. The times will change, the nations will shake, but our God remains the same. And as long as we have him living inside our hearts, our future is guaranteed, no matter what tomorrow brings. There are lots of challenges, but I believe with all of my heart that an increasing revelation of God is the answer to anything and everything that we can ever face in life, which is why we are continuing with the School of Divine Revelation, and we will be doing so even as we get into the new year. Excuse me. And our study at this time is what I call the present day ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is Jesus doing now? What is Jesus doing now? You remember, we've seen that most people, including believers, they have no idea what Jesus looks like now, or where he is now. And that was why we spent time to study the glorified Christ, visions of the glorified Christ. And I want to encourage you to review that study, because it will give you clarity about what Jesus looks like right now. You see, the vision of Jesus as Mary's baby, which of course is, you know, prominent during Christmas, or even Jesus as the miracle-working man of Galilee, you know, which is also good, and all of these things are parts of who Jesus is. But you see, they are incomplete revelations of his person. The reason is because they are pictures of Christ in his self-emptied state. That's not the glorified Christ in the fullness of his glory. Of course, Jesus was glorious as a baby. He was glorious as a miracle worker in his sinless life, walking around on planet Earth. But when you now see Jesus as is described in his current state, you see him at the peak of his glory. The reason is because he laid aside the privileges of deity when he came to Earth to come and save us. He could not be everywhere, for instance, when he was walking around in Galilee or in Judea. But now he has resumed the fullness of his glory, which includes omnipresence. So it's important to increase in a continual revelation of what Jesus looks like now. But this then brings us to the big question of, so what is Jesus doing now? Most believers have no idea what Jesus is doing now. You see, the assumption is that Jesus is sitting idly beside the Father. This is a fallacy. You don't find anything like that in the scriptures at all. You see, the completion of his redemptive work does not mean that he is presently unemployed. See, Jesus is not jobless. The fact that Jesus has finished, remember we looked at the finished work of Christ. Let me dare to say, and I pray that nobody will misunderstand me, that we now want to focus on the current work of Christ. The finished work does not mean that Jesus is no longer working. For example, God created the heavens and the earth, and he finished his work. That's in Genesis chapter 1. But we read later, Jesus said, my Father is working until now, and I am working. So God finished the work of creation. Then later, he began the work of calling a covenant nation, and then eventually the work of redemption by sending Christ. So we have to understand the phases of the divine work. Now, the other important thing here is that when we understand what Jesus is doing now, then we can cooperate with Christ. This is very, very important, especially on earth, which is our primary jurisdiction. We are going to see that the work of Jesus, what Jesus is doing now, is beyond planet earth. But you see, knowing what he's doing now allows us to do it with him. Don't forget that statement. Knowing what Jesus is doing now allows us to do it with him. What a privilege. What a privilege that we can labor with the master. We can be his co-laborers. We can serve with him. We can, you know, oh, wonderful. We can walk alongside the king in what he is doing. What a privilege. What a blessing. But you see, if we don't know what God is doing, what Jesus is doing now, and where he's doing it and how he's doing it, then we will not even know where we fit in the purpose of God Almighty. All right? So we have looked at Jesus as he is now, and I want to encourage you to listen to that teaching, Visions of the Glorified Christ, which you will find at www.eternityministries.org/transformingtruth. And if you are part of the Transforming Truth group, of course, is one of those messages that we have already shared. Now, but the summary of that is that Jesus laid aside his privileges and he came to earth, but now he has resumed his seat at the right side of the Father. And the application for that is that we must cultivate this vision of the glorified Christ, and so that we can walk in his power. You see, you cannot walk in the authority of Christ bigger than your revelation of Christ. The more we see him as he is, the more we become like him, and the more we walk in his power. Now, the next question then is, so where is Jesus now? Where is Jesus? You see, these questions sound basic, but they are very important. Jesus Christ did not just evaporate after he left planet Earth. We are told very clearly that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And from that location, Jesus moves around the universe to fulfill his present day ministry. Jesus is not static, just staying in one place. Don't forget, he has resumed his omnipresence. But don't forget that he also appeared to the apostles and met them in Galilee like he had instructed them. He also came and met Peter and co, you know, by the lake of Galilee where they were fishing. So Jesus travels at will. He's the owner of the universe. He can go to any corner of the galaxies of planet Earth, to any home, to any individual. So Jesus Christ is quite busy right now. What I'm saying will shock some people. But don't see, Jesus is not busy trying to procure salvation. He has finished that work. So don't confuse what I'm saying. But he has other things he's doing. And it's important that we are aware of those things so that we can be his co-laborers. You see, we are told that Jesus ascended into heaven. This is Acts chapter 1, verse 11. You know, the angels came, "You men of Galilee, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus whom you have seen go up into heaven is going to come back again." But you see, that automatically means that Jesus ascended into a place. He did not go into an imaginary place or into nothingness. So heaven is real, and Jesus is there right now at the right hand of the Father. Amen. So that explains, you see, now that Jesus is omnipresent, the Father has restored the glory that he had with him before the foundation of the world. So Jesus is omnipresent, but he can also be manifestly present. You see, even in the Old Testament, you see that the God who is everywhere was in certain places at certain times. That is what is called the manifest presence of God. It does not remove omnipresence. For example, God came down on Mount Sinai. Does it mean that God was not in heaven when he came to Mount Sinai? Of course he was. And of course he was everywhere else. But his manifest presence was on Sinai. So likewise, Jesus himself can be present at the Father's right hand in heaven and appear to Peter and John or to any of us here on earth. It is a function of omnipresence, but now with the added dimension of manifest presence. So Jesus is in heaven. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 10, the Bible says, while they steadfastly looked, towards heaven, as he went up, then the angels appeared and, told them what I just quoted a little while earlier. So Jesus is in heaven. And then he must remain in heaven until certain things happen. We read this in Acts chapter 3. Peter was preaching. He said, repent, verse 19. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. He said, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Excuse me. Times of refreshing will come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before. Now look at verse 21, Acts chapter 3 and 21. Whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So we see Jesus is in heaven and he's going to stay in heaven until the times of restoration of all things, the times of the restitution of all things. We are in those times when God is restoring things. And it is the completion of those times that will mark the moment when he will leave heaven to return to earth to claim his bride and to claim the full reward of the work that he did. So Jesus will then return from heaven, and we read something like this also in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. He said, we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven. I like the way the Amplified Classic puts it. Say, we are citizens of the state of heaven. Heaven is a place. This is very, you see, many believers think that heaven is an imaginary. Heaven is not an imaginary place. Heaven is a place, a state, a commonwealth, a homeland with people there now. God the Father is there. 24 elders are there. Angels are there. Worshipping living creatures. Heaven is a real place. Oh, Father, may heaven become more real to us in your church. Father, may spiritual realities not sound like pie in the sky to us in your church. Take away the veil and cause to be real to us, oh God, the eternal realities of your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Heaven is a real place. So he says that we are citizens of the state of heaven, and from it also, we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Savior, who will transform and fashion anew the body of our humiliation. These are our mortal bodies. Oh, to conform to and be like the body of his glory and majesty. Do you understand what the Bible is saying here? The Bible is saying that Jesus is going to change these our bodies to look like his own body. This is, look, oh wow. See, we are not just church members gathering together to clap hands and sing some nice songs and drop some money in the offering box and go away. We are destined for glory. We are already carrying the glorious Christ inside us. And when that trumpet sounds, that will be the signal. There will be an explosion of life. Mortality will be swallowed by immortality. Your body will be transformed. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible said. Our bodies will be transformed. We are going to be like Jesus in his glorified body. And you can read about that in Revelation chapter 1. Can you imagine Jesus? Head and hairs, white as wool, eyes of fire, face shining like the sun, feet like brass burning in a furnace. Oh, that's what you are going to be like. This. And if you read scriptures and you read the descriptions of angels that appear to Daniel, you see that they look like that. That's what they look like in heaven. These, our mortal bodies, cannot inherit the eternal kingdom of God. Bible says we will be changed. Mortality, we put on immortality. Wow. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, as we have borne the image of the earthly man, Adam. He says, so we are also going to bear the image of the heavenly man, Jesus. Wow. Hallelujah. So, we have established that Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. That's the next thing I want to point out to you now. You see that in 1 Peter 3:22, and he has now entered into heaven, and he is at the right hand of God with all angels and authorities and powers made subject and subservient to him. Jesus is at the Father's right hand. That's the highest place of authority. Do you know that with Jesus sitting at the Father's right hand, that the level is equal? Jesus Christ is as high as the Most High, because he and the Most High, they are one. Hallelujah. Jesus is at the Father's right hand with supreme authority over everything and everyone in the universe. You can also read that in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, where the Bible tells us that when he had by offering himself accomplished the cleansing of our sins and redance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high, taking a place and a rank by which he himself became as much superior to angels as the glorious name which he has inherited is different from and more excellent than theirs. So that's where Jesus is now, and he has all authority. And then thirdly, so first, Jesus is in heaven. Number two, Jesus is at the right hand of the Father there in heaven. And then thirdly, Jesus is in the heart of believing ones. Christ lives in us. Colossians 1 and 27, we see where the Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And of course, Christ lives in us by his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So the application from these introductory things that we have seen is that Jesus is not alone where he is. Glory to God. We were crucified with him. We were buried with him. We were raised with him. And now we are seated with him. Hallelujah. We are seated with him in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father. We are seated with him. That is where we are. So Jesus is not alone where he is at the right hand of the Father. We are there with him. You see, it's impossible to crucify the head without crucifying the body. So when Jesus was crucified, the nails were nailed into his hand and into his feet. His side was pierced. The crown thorns were placed on his head, showing that the body participated in the crucifixion and we are members of his body. And now we are raised to life with him and we are seated with him. There is no way to resurrect the head without resurrecting the body. That's impossible. So the head cannot be seated somewhere and then the body will be seated someplace else. That's out of the question. So we are with Christ. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places, and we should operate like that. See yourself like that. You say, I don't feel like it. Forget about what you feel and accept the word of God and operate according to that word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so this now brings me, I spend all of this time to prepare to summarize for you what Jesus is doing now. This is very important. And like I said, I'm going to summarize it because it's a vast, I thought initially that it was just one aspect. But as I began to study the subject, I realized that Jesus is very busy. Jesus is fully engaged, even as I'm talking with you now. And you see, what he's doing flows from who he is and where he is, and the fixed eternal purposes of God, which he executes. That's very important. And I'm going to say that again. What Jesus is doing flows from who he is and where he is, and the purposes of God, which he is the chief executor. Jesus is the CEO of God's purposes. He's the chief executive officer of all the, you know, purposes of the Father. So we are now going to point out several things that occupy the glorified Christ and impact on his present day ministry. Number one, Jesus at the right hand of the Father. The most important thing that Jesus is doing now at the Father's right hand is active, unbroken communion with the Father. Jesus and the Father are in seamless fellowship, perfect oneness and agreement. So you see, Jesus continues in the glorified state to commune with the Father. To commune with the Father in seamless fellowship. There is no barrier. There is no boundary. He hears from the Father directly. And just like he said on earth when he came for our salvation, he said, as I hear, so I judge. In the same way, he says, no, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father doing, that's exactly true of Christ now. He sees what the Father is saying and doing, and he does it in the universe. So the lesson here is that we must learn this habit from Jesus, the habit of, you know, non-stop communion. We must prioritize fellowship with the Father over all these activities, all the running around, over all our engagements with, you know, life and work and social media and all of these things, you know, and entertainment. Jesus and fellowshipping with him must be restored as our primary priority. And then, of course, out of that fellowship, we will do other things and see his grace help us. And then we can hear his heart and be refreshed by his presence, as well as know exactly what he's doing so that we don't go off course. Okay, number B now, we come to the fact of Jesus as Lord of the universe. You see, Jesus is the Lord of the universe. He has been appointed by the Father as the undisputed, indisputable sovereign of the entire universe. So he has responsibilities beyond planet Earth and its inhabitants. This is very important. You see, a lot of people think that Jesus Christ is a church reverend or that Jesus is a good man. That's an insult. Jesus Christ is the Lord, the absolute Lord of the universe. Look, Jesus is I don't know what word to use. Jesus is, will shock people when they see him eventually. Many believers will be shocked. All of us will be shocked, I believe, but we should begin to get some revelation of who he is, even here on earth. Jesus Christ is not a church reverend. He is the master of the universe. And when you hear master, all creation collapses at his presence, at his feet. When John saw him on the island of Patmos, John said, I fell at his feet as dead. That is standard protocol. Nobody will talk to you. You just realize that you are in front of someone overwhelming. I was praying one day, I just began to shout. I said, Jesus, you're overwhelming. His presence, his personality. He's the Lord of the universe. Do you know that planet Earth is like a drop in the divine bucket? Just imagine that God is carrying a bucket. The Bible says planet Earth with everything inside is like a drop in the bucket. But there are other things in the bucket. So the bucket represents the universe. You can read this in Isaiah chapter 40 verse 15. I'm not making this up. So while Jesus gave his life to redeem all humanity, his authority and power encompass everything created. He rules over all of them. You see, Jesus temporarily relinquished his glory as part of the kenosis. You remember we mentioned the kenosis, the self-emptying, which you can read in Philippians chapter 2, when Jesus emptied himself and took upon him the form of a slave. That was necessary for him to pay for our salvation. But that's not how he is now. Remember, before he left, in John 17, he was praying to the Father. He said, Father, now glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. Hallelujah. So what is Jesus doing as the Lord of the universe? Let me read you some scriptures. Number one, he is in charge of running the universe. Hi, toi, hallelujah. Listen to Ephesians chapter 1, 20 to 23 from the Message version. Concerning Jesus, it says, God raised him from death and set him on a throne in deep heaven. You see that? God raised Jesus from the dead and then set him on a throne in deep heaven, in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. Jesus is in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments. Jesus Christ, you see, when you understand this thing, you know that planet Earth and its problems are a minor matter for Jesus Christ. The only reason that all of these things have not been sorted out is that he has a timetable. He's walking by. See, important people walk by timetable. They don't do things on your own timing. They do it when they have set it in their wisdom. Jesus has set a timetable for all of these governments and all of these people on planet Earth. And he's coming. I guarantee you that from scripture. He is in charge of running the universe. Hey! Everything from galaxies to governments. There is no name and no power exempt from his rule. And then he says, and not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. Has the final word on everything. And at the center of all this, Christ rules the church. This is Ephesians chapter 1, 20 to 22 from the Message translation. Now, listen to Colossians chapter 1, and this is still the Message. I like the way Eugene Peterson, translated, paraphrased these scriptures, because they give you a good idea of who Jesus is. Colossians 1 from 14, still in the Message. The Son who got us out of the pit we were in, got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. We look at this Son, this is Jesus now, and we see the God who cannot be seen. We look at this Son and we see God's original purpose in everything created. For everything, this is verse 16, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, rank after rank after rank of angels, everything God started in him and finds its purpose in him. He was there before any of it came into existence, and he holds it all together right up to this moment. Did you see that? Jesus is the one holding everything together, holding the universe together. He didn't resign from that work simply because he finished, bringing salvation to us and went back. No, it's in him all things hold together. The entire universe is held by him and upheld by him. Verse 18, and when he comes to the church, he organizes and holds it together like a head does a body. He was supreme in the beginning and leading the resurrection parade. He is supreme in the end. Hallelujah. Say, from beginning to end, he is there, towering far above everything, everyone. He said, so spacious is he, so roomy, that everything of God finds its proper place in him without crowding. And now listen to verse 20. He said, not only that, but all the broken and dislocated pieces of the universe, people and things, animals and atoms, they get properly fixed and fit together in vibrant harmonies, all because of his death, his blood that poured down from the cross. Oh, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus, the Lord of the universe. Let's read one more scripture in Hebrews chapter 1. And this time, I'm reading from the Amplified Classic Translation. It says, from verse 1, it says, in many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. Now, verse 2, he said, but in the last of these days, he has spoken to us in the person of a Son, whom he appointed heir and lawful owner of all things, and by and through whom he created the worlds. Now listen, this is Amplified. He says it was through Jesus that God created the worlds and the riches of space and the ages of time. So it's not just the physical world, even the space-time continuum. He was the one that made them. He made, produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. It's Jesus. He says, it was by Jesus that God created the worlds and the riches of space and the ages of time. He made, he produced, built, operated, and arranged them in order. Now listen to verse 3 concerning Jesus. He says, he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outraying of the divine, the radiance of the divine. This is Jesus. He is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the being that is light, the light being. You see, when Saul was talking with Jesus, when Jesus met Saul of Tarsus on the way to Damascus, Saul saw a light from heaven shining brighter than the noonday sun. But that light was a person. Then he began to have a conversation with the light. You see, the light said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the light was talking. Is the light talking? See, but when the Bible says that Jesus is the light of the world, don't figuratize your Bible. Don't figuratize. He said, "No, he's a figure of speech." What do you mean, figure of speech? He's the light being. Hey! The outraying, the radiance of the divine. The one version said the effulgence, the outshining brightness of who God is. That is Jesus. He is the perfect imprint and the very image of God's nature. Now, listen to this. Listen now. He said, this is Amplified Classic, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. He says, upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. This does not describe a historical activity of Christ. He says upholding, maintaining, guiding, propelling the universe. Do you know that each of these things is work and Jesus is doing it? Hi, without stress. Oh, ho, ho. Upholding the universe, he is not sweating. Hi, if he can uphold the universe and he is not sweating and panting, he should be able to uphold you. He should be able to uphold. You see, our problem is that we don't know Jesus. This is the trouble of the church. Jesus asked Philip a question. And that question bothered me. In John chapter 14, I think it's verse 9. He said, "Have I been with you for such a long time, Philip, and you don't know me?" Do you know that Jesus has been in our heart and we are talking Jesus, but we don't know him? We don't really. And the trouble is that we are not studying Jesus. Most of our churches are not studying Jesus. This is a travesty. It's an insult. He's the owner of the church. This is the head of the church, but he's not number one in our program. By the way, is he his church? So you see, we need to get back to gaze on Jesus. Listen to what the book said. He says, this person, the light being, by Taikote, and he lives in your heart, by the way. Can you imagine the person who is living inside me is upholding the universe? Why would he not be able to uphold Brother Ferdinand? He's maintaining and guiding, propelling the universe. Why would you not be able to maintain and guide and propel my life to the fullness of the purpose of God? And you see that word, propelling the universe. Please listen. Scientists have established that the universe is expanding. The universe is propelling. Jesus is propelling, the one propelling it. New stars are being born. New galaxies are being born. He has not stopped creating. Hi! Oh, God, bring the revelation of Jesus Christ to us in your church. Deliver us from our foolishness. Hey! You see, every time I start studying these things, something is happening to me. He said, when he had, by offering himself, accomplished our cleansing of sins and the redance of guilt, he sat down at the right hand of the divine majesty on high. Hey! This is Jesus. So he was the one that made, produced, built, and operated and arranged everything in order. But right now, the same one who made it, who redeemed it all with his blood, he has resumed his seat at the Father's right hand and is in charge of running the universe. If Jesus Christ can run the universe, allow him to run your life. See, we are running our lives by ourselves. Look at the mess we have made. What do you think is going to happen if all these countries allow Jesus to run their countries? See, that's the trouble. Say, why is the world like this? It's because Jesus is not running it yet. He's not running it in the sense of control, but he is running it in the sense of his absolute sovereignty over the universe. But the days are coming when he will come and crush all these kingdoms in this world, and they will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And of his reign there shall be no end. So right now, from his seat at the Father's side, Jesus is upholding and maintaining and guiding and propelling the universe by his mighty word of power. Oi! Hallelujah. Now, as Lord of the universe, he's also sending his angels and other heavenly messengers on assignment to uttermost galaxies, the riches of the universe, where they execute his will. See, Jesus is sending angels on assignment to different galaxies across the universe, to all over the world. Angels, he's sending them. Yeah, you, Gabriel, go to that place there. You see, same way Gabriel was sent. Some people think, you think that Gabriel has been jobless since he came to talk to Mary and to Zacharias. No. Jesus has been sending Gabriel and sending Michael and sending all of these people to different assignments. Hey! Now, listen to this one. And before you crucify me on the one I'm going to share with you now, I'll encourage you to study it for yourself. Jesus, right now, is ruling other forms of creation in the universe of which we are not currently aware. I'm going to say that again. Jesus rules other forms of creation in the universe of which we are not aware. You see, we don't even know everything on planet Earth. We don't even know everything in our own solar system, the sun with the planets, you know, traveling around it. We have not visited all of the planets in our own solar system. Now, the sun is just one star out of billions of stars in our Milky Way galaxy. Now, that Milky Way galaxy is one galaxy out of billions of other galaxies in the universe. And now scientists are telling us that our universe is just one universe out of what they call a multiverse, meaning that now there are plenty other universes out there. Most people have no idea of how big the universe is. So now, who authorized any of us to assume that we are the only ones in the universe when you don't know other places? Yeah. By the way, if the universe was only made for us, then it's oversized. I told you already that from Isaiah 40:15, that planet Earth is like a drop in God's bucket. It's in the Bible. So the question then is, what is in the rest of the bucket? It says, Lebanon and all of these countries, they are not sufficient to burn as a sacrifice for a burnt offering in the presence of God. Wow. So Jesus is too big to be interested in only the things that are on planet Earth. He came and died on Earth, but don't let that give you the idea that Earth is his only jurisdiction. He has absolute authority over the entire universe. This is look, if we see Jesus as he is, oh God, give me a revelation, take away the veil from my eyes, take away the veil from the eyes of your church. Raise a generation of people, Father, that know you, that can see you as you are. Hey! Look, do you know there was a question that the psalmist asked in Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4? He said, when I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. He said, there's a question. It's David. He said, there's a question. The question is, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you visit him? What is man? Who is man that you are mindful of him, that you pay attention to him? What is man? You see, man has become so big in the eyes of man because man has no idea of the things of God. If we see God as he is and we see the universe as it is, we will shrink. We and our problems and our mountains. You know, I keep telling you, the bigger God gets in your eyes, the tinier your mountains will become. We will just shrink to our proper size. But glory to God that we will also rise to our privileges in Christ because he has chosen to make us his joint heirs. Listen to the Message version of that Psalm 8 verses 3 and 4. He said, I look up at the macro, at your macro skies, dark and enormous, your handmade sky jewelry, moon and stars mounted in their settings. Then I look at my micro self and wonder, why do you bother with us? Why take a second look our way? You see, the macro skies and then our micro self, micro, infinitesimal selves. Right? You know, self is very big because God is very small. We must reverse the order. So, this is what Jesus Christ is doing now. And we are very presumptuous to assume that planet Earth is the only place in the universe where there are forms of life. Do you know, recently, the U.S. government set up a commission to study UFOs, unidentified flying objects. Now, they call them unidentified aerial phenomena. That's the new name, you know, that they used to call them. Because there were sightings, U.S. soldiers out in the open seas, marines, sailors, other pilots, they were reporting, and they are still reporting, encounters with aircraft, spacecraft. What I'm telling you can Google it and search it. I'm telling you what is happening. They are reporting that there are aliens with alien spacecraft. First of all, they thought maybe it was Russia or China. But no. You know why? They are reporting that some of those aircraft are doing things that are scientifically impossible. As they are watching, these aircraft are flipping and zapping at speeds that human beings cannot comprehend. But they are seeing these things in out in the middle of the seas and, you know, up in the sky. Pilots, Air Force pilots, U.S. The matter became so serious that the U.S. government set up a board of inquiry to investigate these things. And listen now, this commission investigated the whole thing, wrote their report. The U.S. government has refused to release the full report. They just released a few things. The reason is because that report is too explosive. Because you know the implications to confirm to human beings that there are aliens and other species and other creatures visiting planet Earth and flying their craft in the air over planet Earth. You know the consequence of that? They finished all the entire, the commission finished its work. Google what I'm telling you, you will find it. So even the governments of this world are now terrified that there are other people, other forms of life, intelligent forms of life outside planet Earth, and that they are coming to Earth, they are visiting Earth. It should not surprise us as believers. If you believe in heaven, automatically you already believe that there are, you know, who there are people in heaven, because believers who have died go to be with Christ in heaven. You believe there are angels in heaven, there are living creatures. You believe that God appears, God is in heaven. By the way, who authorized us to even think that all of these other planets and different things and different galaxies, that there's nobody inside there? They may not be like us. They may not have our characteristics. But do you know that infinite knowledge plus boundless power equates to endless creativity and innovation? Look, imagine that you know all things and you have all power. Who will stop you from creating? There'll be no limit to your innovation. So the idea that God finished creating and then God stopped and that he's not creating anything, all of these things are very strange to the Bible. Hey, our God is an awesome God. He's boundless in his personality, in his creativity. Do you know that our God can create other forms of life suited to survive where he situates them? I mean, look, I saw a scripture. Do you know that God can create creatures that don't need water or oxygen to survive? I saw a scripture, and you can read this, Revelation 19, verse 17. He says that John saw an angel standing in the sun. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 17. He said, I saw an angel stand. I checked the thing from several translations. That's the literal meaning. The angel was standing in the sun. Don't say he was just standing in sunlight. Don't change the Bible. He was standing in the sun. You think that if Jesus enters into the sun will burn him? Hey! Oh, glory to the Son of God. Jesus is busy as the Lord of the universe. But when you hear busy, busy doesn't mean overworked or sweating, because his work is not like your work and my work. It is his work that he's doing with unlimited power and ability and wisdom. Hey! The present day ministry of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to wrap this segment up here. We are going to continue this study. But you see, Earth begins to look really, really small when we realize that Jesus is the Lord of the universe. But he should also give us a greater appreciation of his infinite authority over planet Earth and all of Earth's issues. And then we must stand in awe of him. This is not your classmate, sir. Ma, we must bow. We must, hey, look, may Jesus become big in our eyes. This regular church Jesus that, you know, people just see and they call him and something. This is why his name is not powerful when we call his name, because we don't know the person whose name we are using. Oh, and I pray that we will always stand in awe. May these things inform your worship of Jesus. Don't lose the wonder of who he is. Out of this revelation, confidence will rise in your spirit. Authority, as you serve him, when you mention his name, you know that if he's upholding the universe, he can uphold you. Can you imagine that Jesus Christ is holding up the entire universe by his word of power, and then he cannot hold you up? He can't solve your problem. Then there is something impossible that can happen. You see, what we call impossible is because we don't know who we are talking about. He said, this is impossible. This is incurable. It's incurable to who? If it's incurable to a medical doctor in a hospital, is it incurable to the Lord of the universe that created, built, operated everything, and now is upholding and maintaining and sustaining and propelling the universe with his word of power? Is it impossible for the one that is hanging planet Earth on nothing and hanging the Milky Way galaxy on nothing and hanging the universe on nothing and upholding it all by his word of power? No wonder when you connect with that word will also uphold you. Father, we thank you. Continue to unveil Jesus to us as he is and what he's doing now. Hey, that we may love you, we may worship you, we may labor with you. Hey, that we may see your greatness, that we may tremble at your majesty. Hey, oh, Son of God, bless your name. Father, we thank you. Take away the veil from our eyes as we continue this study. And Father, in the years ahead, become so big in our eyes that earth with its matters will be so small that we will walk in your power. We will walk in your victory in the name of Jesus. And whatever this dear brother or sister is facing now, Lord, I release your life and your power into their bodies, into their situations, bringing solutions and deliverance and help from God.
In Jesus' name. Like you.
Amen. Amen.
Maker of heaven.
Bless you and keep you.
Lord of the land and Lord of the sea.